Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
Turn with me to the book of Malachi. That's the last book in the Old Testament written 400 years before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I send a messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Now that's speaking of John the Baptist, who was preparing a way for Jesus Christ to come. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refining fire and like a launderer's soap. He will set as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He'll purify the sons of Levi. He'll purge them as gold and silver. They may offer to the Lord an offering of righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old and in the former years. And I will come near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, against those who turn away the alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord. For I am the Lord, and I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob, yet from the days of your father you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, in what way shall we return? Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you bless this message. Lord, I pray that you reach the very soul of everyone that is sitting here. I pray, Lord, that through the quickening of that soul you renew our minds. And you help us as we stumble through this life, that we might see a clear path. In Jesus' name, amen. There are so many things in this passage of Scripture that I could talk about this morning. It is filled, it is rich. We could talk about John the Baptist. We could talk about Jesus the Messiah. We could talk about how we treat our fellow man. We could talk about his coming. But there's one verse in here. He will set, verse 3, as a refiner and a purifier of silver. God will set as a refiner and a purifier of silver. I read about a ladies group that was studying that passage of Scripture in a Bible study, like our Bible studies that we have on Mondays and Wednesdays and Sundays and almost every day of the week, it seems, anymore. And she said, on her way out, it started bothering her, and she wondered how a silversmith refined the silver. So she went and she called a silversmith in town, and she went over to see him, and she said, how do you refine the silver? He said, I take it, and I put it on a handle. And he said, I reach it into the hottest point of the fire, right in the center of the flames, and I don't take my eyes off of it. The whole time it's in the fire, I have my eyes on it. And she says, when do you know it's done? He said, when I see my image in it, then I take it out. Not 1 second longer. And as she thought about that, this passage started to make sense. That Jesus Christ will allow us to go through troubles and tribulations. But when we are in them, he has his eye on us all the time. He will not take his eyes off of us because he is making us something special. He is making us to look like him, act like him, to walk like him, to talk like him, to work like him, so that others might see him in this world when they see the church and they see the people of the church. But we as a church, we're as stubborn as the rest of the world is. We do everything we can to sidestep the fires. Well, you're going to have them. The Bible teaches that. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we are being transformed into the likeness, the ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We are to be conformed to the image of his Son, Romans 8:39. C.S. Lewis said this, the great theologian, once we give God permission by surrendering our lives to him, he will not stop the process of purifying us, no matter how painful and unpleasant it may be. Paul said in Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You think being a Christian is always easy? It isn't always easy. It's difficult sometimes. You're going to go through the same heartaches as others. How many of you here today are here today that have had open heart surgery? Raise your hand. Many. How many of you have had cancer? Raise your hand. Or dealing with cancer. Many. We have the same problems the world has, but it's a whole lot easier going through it with the Lord than it is without him. And God said he is purifying us. He is making us an example. He is making us a representative of him. You know, if you're going to go to school and you're going to be a doctor and you're going to be a cardiologist, you go to school and you work with cardiologists until you get it down and you understand what the machines do and how they read and what part to look at and what not to look at and what to rule in and what to rule out. And pretty soon when you graduate and you've practiced and you went through your internship, you're a cardiologist. You went through a lot of work. You spent a lot of sleepless nights. You saw patients die. Finally, you arrived. Somebody says no pain, no gain when they talk about working out. And that may be true. But if we're going to be like Christ, we're going to have to go through the fire so that the world can see the fire that we're in and they can see his image in us. I want to talk to you this morning about a verse. It's in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And I am sure that he who began the good work within me will continue his work until it is finally finished. See, the key to being like Christ is committing ourselves and submitting ourselves to him and to his will. It isn't about discipline. Discipline is just religion. Discipline is what the world teaches. You cannot have enough self-discipline, or you cannot be good enough in order to get to heaven. Jesus Christ came, he lived and he died on the cross, and he rose from the dead that we might have everlasting life. And you say, preacher, I don't quite understand that. Well, let me explain it to you. First of all, if God is God, which he is, and he wanted to send his son that we all might know who he is, the first thing he would do is he would grab a group of people and say, here is what my son is going to look like, so you recognize him. If you're going to pick someone up at the airport and you've never seen them, someone's going to send you a picture of what they look like. They're going to tell you they're going to be wearing a red tie. I remember I met someone when I was campaigning last year and they'd never met me and they said, how will I know you? I said, I have a black hat in my hand. So when they saw the black hat, they recognized it was me. And when they had on their blue tie, I recognized it was them. And we walked together and introduced ourselves, first with a smile and then a handshake. Why? Because he knew what I was going to look like. So God sent his son, and he said, here's what he's going to look like, and he did it from the first sin. The fall of mankind brought mankind became tied to this world and forgot about God. When Cain killed Abel because Cain had offered a sacrifice of fruits and vegetables, and Abel had offered a sacrifice of the lamb, signifying the Son of God was going to come as a lamb without blemish. And there was jealousy. But God said, here's the way it's going to be. So all through the Old Testament, there was this lamb, the sacrifice. And there were things that they had to go through signifying who Jesus was. So they would understand his purity. They would understand his bloodline, that he'd come through the line of David. He'd come through the lineage of Abraham. And then he said where he would be born. He also told what his name would be. Back in Isaiah, he shall be called Emmanuel. He'll be born of a young lady. God gave us all this evidence that he was going to send his son to redeem us from the world. And his son came. The emperor didn't want another king. He tried to kill all the children under 2 years old, and Jesus' mother and dad took him and went to Egypt. And he wasn't killed. He was recognized by the kings of the east that saw a star, and they followed it to Bethlehem. He was recognized by the angels singing to the shepherds who were out in the tending their flocks by night. So God had this plan so that men would know that this was God that was coming. It wasn't a religion. It was God showing mankind that he was an eternal being. He was created a living soul that has a body, not a living body that has a soul. There was a difference. So God is showing them all through the Old Testament who Jesus is, and they're looking at the cross this way. And in the New Testament, he's showing us who Jesus was, as we see the cross from this side. Now here's what happens. Jesus had to die publicly. He couldn't die and, oh, he was alone in a bedroom with his mother and someone came in and stabbed him. Who would believe that? People would say he didn't die. Matter of fact, Thomas said, one of his disciples, when they said that he rose from the dead, he said, I won't believe it until I see the nail prints in his hands and his feet and can cast my hand into his side where the spear went. And when he saw Jesus, he said, my Lord and my God. See, Jesus had to die not just publicly, but the most public way possible. It had to be documented. It had to be recorded. It had to be seen by everyone. In the eyes of the entire Roman Empire was on that cross that day. And Jesus died. He wasn't hung the way other men were by ropes. He had nails put in his hands and his feet. The Roman soldier, the centurion, came up and thrust a sword into his side, and the Bible says that water and blood came out, meaning that he cut his heart in half. He had to die publicly. If God was going to show man that man was an eternal soul and not just a body, Jesus had to die publicly. He also had to be raised from the dead publicly. So they took him to this very, not an outside cemetery, they took him to a very expensive cemetery, to a plot that was owned by Joseph of Arimathea. And they put him in the tomb, and they rolled a stone in front of the tomb, and they set guards at the tomb to make sure that everyone knew he was dead. He didn't lay there for 2 hours. He didn't lay there for 1 day. He laid there for 3 days and three nights. And he rose from the dead. And the stone was rolled away. and he was seen by over 500 people after he rose from the dead. No one believed when he died. No one believed. One by one, his disciples, when they saw that he was rose from the dead, and then the road to Emmaus, they believed. They saw him, and they went back to Jerusalem. And Thomas, doubting Thomas, he saw him, and he believed. Jesus Christ came. He was the Son of God. He took on a body so that he could show us that we're a living soul, not just a body. That life is eternal. There's more to it than just this. And when we see that, and when we commit to that, and when we submit to that, your life automatically changes. It isn't a life of discipline anymore. It is a life of seeing that you are eternal. So you can give things away. You can help people. You can turn your cheek because eternity is more important than today. You can help the poor. You can take care of the sick. You can give up your time, your talent, and your finances. And Malachi goes on to tell us in the rest of that chapter how to start. When you see Christ and who he is, you'll start giving. And then God says, I will purify you as silver. I heard a guy testimony the other day. He said, when I got saved, God took away the tobacco, he took away the alcohol, he took away the carousing, he took away even my speeding. He said, he took it all away, and then he started working on the hard stuff. The jealousy, the envy, the strife, the hatred, the selfishness, the self-righteousness. Then God started working on the hard stuff. And I want to tell you this today, that he who started a work in you will complete it. You can't complete it. The Holy Spirit's going to take you through trials so that you'll be purified. Isn't it amazing that the Bible says that the trying of your faith worketh patience? God's giving you patience, so he's putting you through a trial. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, he says. And I am sure that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished. When we surrender and we see eternal life and we see ourselves as an eternal being, a living soul, our life changes. We're no longer tied to the world. That's called repentance. Lord, I've lived for myself. I've only cared about me. Lord, I want to live for you. I want to live for something that counts. I've never been afraid of dying. I know that that could have came. I lost friends in high school in the Vietnam War. I've lost friends since that time with cancer and heart trouble. I've never been afraid of dying because I know I'm an eternal being. The closer you get to God, the more you know who he is. And the more you understand why he does what he does and how he does it, the better you'll be able to walk through it. That's why we have the Bible studies. Dear friend, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the suffering of Christ, that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If we confess our sins, and he is faithful and just, he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He is the purifier. We're not the purifier. He is the one that disciplines. We are not the one that disciplines. But we shouldn't, Pastor, shouldn't we do all we can do to clean ourselves up? We should do all we should do to submit ourselves to Jesus Christ. And he'll clean you up. The problem with the church today is we try to set standards for those who are out there before we allow them to come in here, before we allow the Lord Christ to get a hold of them and change their lives. I cannot change your life. I cannot teach you how to change your life. Only the power of the Holy Spirit can change your life by seeing your life as being eternal, not temporal. So we're no longer afraid of dying. We're no longer afraid of losing. Because God said He'll put you through the trials. We're not afraid of giving too much because our Father says He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. And I've got on my knees before and said, Lord, it's butchering time. We need a little more meat in the freezer. And God has always came through. I told this story when I was in the Navy. I was a young man just called to preach. And I didn't have much. I made $48 every 2 weeks. That's not a lot of money. It doesn't go very far. I kept a case of pop bottles sitting outside my back door just in case I ran out of money. That was my savings account. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Been there, done that. We were out of food. I was out of money. We had a can of tuna fish. And I said, well, we better pray over it. So I sat down at the table, and I looked at that tuna fish, and I looked at God, and I said, Lord, I don't know what we're going to eat tomorrow, but thank you for the tuna fish tonight. Now, it would have been nice to have some bread or crackers to go with it, but it was just tuna fish. I got done eating, and I went to the mailbox to get the mail. And I opened the mailbox, and a fellow by the name of Junior Foner had sent me a letter. Now, he had to send it 4 to 5 days before I received it. And in that letter, it said, Bob, the Lord told me to send you this. And there was a $50 bill. That's how much I made for 2 weeks. I've never forgot his name. I never forget to pray for him. I knew him when I was a little boy. And God showed up. You know, we're going to go through the same trials as the world does. But one thing we know as Christian, God shows up. God shows up. And He is making us into His image. Not our image. Not my image. His image. So that we will reflect Him. And when you're going through your trial, He's got His eye on you all the time. Let us stand. Jesus isn't only our Savior, but He's also to be our Lord in every aspect of our life. Be open to His refining fires. Look for Him, what He's trying to do. And if you do, you'll be renewed. He'll transform you into His image that others might see Him. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because I know He's with me, and He has a purpose. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for today. I thank You for Your word. I thank You, Lord, that You watch over us. I thank You that You gave us good evidence from the time of mankind started about who the Messiah was and what He would look like and how we would recognize Him. Lord, I thank You that You chose to die publicly so there could be no doubt that You died, that You were taken to a tomb guarded by soldiers in a cemetery known by everyone. And Lord, I thank You that You left it empty, that we might be filled. We thank You that we are eternal. Help us all to see it. Help us all to understand it. Help us to grasp it with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.